how I feel when only person who can stop you is the man in the mirror. When you look down at your wrists and you see money, when you look at your shoes and you see money, when that scarf on your neck means money. Burberry scars, tripping Perry on, living like a comet, moving amongst the stars. $100,000 sports cars, silk massage, menage a trois. Yes, I've been a boss. Burberry scars, tripping Perry on, living like a comet, moving amongst the stars. $100,000 sports cars, silk massage, menage a trois.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode of Top Rope Wrestling Talk. I'm not going to go into all the fancy bells and whistles and video intros. We don't need all that shit today. What you have here at the moment is, of course, your friendly neighborhood psycho of Circle of Debate, the notorious D.O.M., and I am joined by the first lady of Top Rope Wrestling Talk, Latina Heat herself, Grandma Wendy. But what makes this episode very special is our very, very special guest. He is, in my opinion, a pillar of Defy Wrestling. He has been in ring with pretty much everybody you have seen on Turner Network, whether it be Jon Moxley, Ricky Starks, Darby Allin, Brian Cage, the list goes on and on and on and on. He is a former Defy Heavyweight Champion. He is the current Defy Pacific Northwest champion, and he will be defending that title against Sin Bodhi at Creature Feature from PCW Ultra on October 28th. He is the man, the baddest mother.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just talking about Shaft. Please, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome Shaft to the show. How are you today, my brother? It is so good to see you.
Doing good.
Thank you for taking the time.
Yes, thank you for being here with us.
Intro.
I don't really think you need an intro, but I was trying to give you a damn good one. So I'm hoping you can dig.
I appreciate it.
No problem. We appreciate having you on, brother. This is amazing. I'm a genuine fan, and I want to start the interview with a question that I ask anybody I talk to, because the answer seems to be different every fucking time. What got you into professional wrestling in the first place, and what made you want to be a professional wrestler?
I was going to say that's a good question, because it's kind of like a two-part question. So, like, I mean, getting right into wrestling, like, watching it,
yeah,
as a kid. I mean, I'm like everybody, like, well, most people, every now and then you'll meet somebody who's like, oh, I started watching in 2020. And you're like, what the fuck? I started watching when I was a kid, WCW. I was a WCW kid. So I started watching pro wrestling back then. Probably like, I'd say like 98, 99, somewhere in there is where I, like, some of my earlier memories of what I remember watching as a kid. And then, like, you know, as I continue to watch it every now and then, I'd go back and watch some of the older stuff. But that was like my earliest memories. But like, what made me be a pro wrestler is it started as a joke. It kind of started off as a joke. I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy for 6 years. And like, a little bit about the military, when you get out of the military, they like hammer you. They're like, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do? I was tired of people asking me, because I had no idea. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So I would just tell everybody, oh, I'm going to go be the World Heavyweight Champion. I'm going to be a pro wrestler. And I just did it just to get them to shut the fuck up. But eventually, like, it just snowballed. And then I went to wrestling school and it just continued. But that's kind of how I got into wrestling. And then I found Fox's school in Atlanta, and I started going down there and trained with Fox for like a year. And then I ended up moving back to Washington and got in with the Defy guys. And that's just snowballs, man. It just starts rolling downhill. And it just snowballs.
Yeah. And I gotta say, I know he doesn't get a lot of attention, but AR Fox, amazing.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, he's been behind a lot of guys, and
Darby,
especially you. Darby, for God's sake. You know, like,
all those guys, yeah.
All those guys. I know a lot of other guys get shines, but AR Fox deserves a little bit more credit. He's pumped out some good talent, and I know you. You're one of them. So appreciate I'm going to stop kissing your ass. I'm going to turn things over to Grandma Wendy. I'm sure she has a question for you, and I'd let her go first, but we don't treat her like a woman here. So
I really don't. I'm so fucking broke. But so between the time you started through now, how do you feel your wrestling style has evolved and changed?
Oh, I do a lot less.
You hear that a lot.
I do a lot less. Yeah. You know, when I first started wrestling, like, you know, I started wrestling on the indies when, like, in like 2016, 2017, when like Jeff Cobb and Keith Witt and all those big guys were like doing all the crazy shit. Oh man, so that's where I was like, oh, I got to do all the crazy shit. And so I started doing it, but it didn't necessarily get me, I guess, the traction that I wanted, but it was fun. And I got, you know, I was able to do a lot of stuff and I was able to get a lot of really cool opportunities. But for me, I just slowed it down a lot. I quit doing so much shit, quit trying to do as many like high risk things. Toned it down a little bit and kind of just started focusing on what was working for me. And what was working was just a lot less.
No, that's actually pretty sound. I mean, if you listen to legends like The Undertaker himself, that's one of his first pieces of advice, like less is more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So can't go wrong, right? If the dead man says so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It seems like trying it all out and then kind of honing it was the way to go. Do you think that's like good advice for anyone starting out? Or
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like try a little bit of everything. Find out what you're good at and really good at what you're good at. Like, just, you know, excel, like use your strengths, you know what I mean? To what everybody's looking at. Obviously, like, you know, you could always throw some crazy shit in there every now and then. And, you know, if you're, you know, if the time calls for it, but I don't think the time always calls for it all the time. In wrestling, there's a lot of, I try to keep a lot of my opinions to myself because I don't want to be that guy that's like big. Buddy, like, oh, they're doing this and they're doing that. But sometimes when you do watch wrestling, sometimes it's exhausting. Sometimes watching some of these matches and you're just like, whoo, okay, I'm tired. It's time to go to the bathroom. Time to get a drink. I need a rest because it's tiring just watching it, let alone doing it. So,
right.
That's another thing. Like, I'm not a small dude and it's like my cardio is not the best, so I can't do all that. go, and it's like I can't do that shit. It's just
no, you don't have to explain cardio to a middle-aged smoker. You're good. You're probably twice the man. So, and speaking of the man, we finally got the founder of Top Rope Wrestling in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the salt of the earth of podcasting himself, Bruce.
What is good? Holy shit, we've got the man himself here. This is amazing. Like, here's the thing, bro. Like, I started watching a lot of your matches not too long ago, and you have quickly become one of my top guys that I follow. I really do appreciate your work in the ring. Like, you do some good shit.
I appreciate the beard, dude. That's a
I was gonna say from one great majestic, beard to right? another, you know.
I feel like you all met out. I should have like bought a beard.
The majestic beard. So for you to back that up just makes us seem legit.
I know. I just right? went to your routine before we got on this, and I'm feeling insecure.
I mean,
you look at me.
You. Where's my cat so I can pretend I have one? Our just like hold him up to myself.
Our screen is like the evolution of beards. It's weird. So. Oh. I know we just got here. I know High Class had a couple of questions for you. So please feel free to drop one. I'm sure Shad.
I do. And I find this one interesting and I also find it cool. How did you come up with the moniker the baddest motherfucker in professional wrestling? Because I love it. Love it.
With just the way they introed it. So growing up, my name's Shaft, right? My dad loved Shaft.
Yeah.
My dad loved Shaft, and so I watched Shaft a lot. I watched the original. I watched the movie that they did with Samuel L. Jackson. I didn't watch the sequel that they did, but I watched those a lot as a kid. And my dad would always just be like, "Oh, he's a bad mother," and he would just say, "My dad's name's Bob, so he's Bob Shaft." But so I was just like, as I got older and I started doing wrestling, I was like, "That's like kind of a neat thing." And so I kind of just leaned into it a little bit as everything progressed and we kept going, and the guys at Defy really just kind of took that and just
ran with it.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it, and I like it, because I mean, look, it's a bold statement in professional wrestling to say I'm the baddest motherfucker in professional wrestling. That is a bold ass statement. Me as a fan knows you got to have motherfuckers knocking on the door saying you ain't the baddest motherfucker. Oh. I am, you know.
Taylor tells me every single time I see him, like, "I'm the baddest man on the planet," and then he'll say something and he'll be like, "You're a baddest motherfucker," and he always wants to run it, and I'm just like, "All right, you just tell me when, let's go." So
awesome.
No, it's definitely bold, and as a podcast of three people who have made some bold statements that might have got us in trouble in the past, we can appreciate that. We really can.
Times.
We really can.
Hey.
Do you have the bad motherfucker wallet?
No, there's a wallet.
You should. There is. Yeah. Pulp Fiction. Thank you, Bruce. You should definitely have it, because they actually do sell it, and it does literally say "bad motherfucker." You definitely need to get that. We'll have to get you one.
All right.
We're gonna send you one. And by the way, I'm even happier now to have done the Shaft remix on your intro. That just felt right. And since we're breaking into movies, the remake might actually be better than the original Shaft movie. I'm just saying. The original one was like with Sam Jackson. Uh-huh. The original one was like, yeah. The second one, pretty damn good. All right. So I guess we got to get back to some of these questions. And I always ask a pro wrestler, because it's pretty much who would know better. We have a lot of debates on this show, whether it be between us or even fans in our live chat about this. So I always like to go to the source. Being a pro wrestler yourself, I want to ask, is sports entertainment and pro wrestling the same thing?
I mean, yeah, kind of. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, it's not like, I'm a huge Cornette fan.
Okay.
Like, I listen to a lot of what he says, and though he may not say that exactly, like you'll listen to like the storylines and the shit he comes up with, and it's all fucking entertainment, you know? It's all the same thing. But like wrestling, it's more than just what you're doing in the ring. It carries out beyond the ring, in the promo packages, in the interactions you have with the other wrestlers, whether it's in the ring or behind the scenes or in front of the camera, but backstage or whatever. So like all of that does go together. WWE has a lot more of a plasticky approach to it. You know, it's a little bit more, like very colorful and very bright and ooh, look at that. But yeah, I mean, like, you got to be entertained. If you're not entertained, then what the fuck are you watching for?
Thank you.
Fair enough.
Thank you. There has not been a pro wrestler on this show that hasn't agreed with me and my take. So I feel better. Maybe I'm not as psycho as I think I am.
Are you feeling vindicated?
Yeah.
I do. I got that feeling of vindication just deep in the cockles of my heart right now. I can't help it.
It's not the same.
You shut your mouth. Nobody asked you in your majestic fucking beard, okay? And so now that I've shut him up, Grandma, do you have another question for Chef?
I do. So do you have any, like, pre-match rituals, superstitions, things that you always do, and it's like, it has to be done, or like, this is the end of the fucking world, like, we will not be going out unless this gets done?
Seconds, I'll show you.
Show and tell time, yay!
Yay! He's letting us behind the curtain, folks. You're gonna love this.
My weird thing, every single time, and everybody who knows me knows, These things right here, every single show I'm on. I wear these to every single show.
Oh, shit.
Everywhere. Everywhere. Oh, my God.
Disgusting. Like, nasty. Like, it's even got a thumbtack in it.
Mine aren't that bad
what,
yet.
What match was that from?
I have no idea. But it's got a thumbtack in it. So I wear these every single show. They're, I mean, there's no tread on the bottom. They're disgusting. I've had them for probably
ever
7 or 8 years now. They're foul. My brother bought me another pair, and I won't wear them because for some reason, everywhere. They're disgusting, but like they're my Crocs, and I wear them every fucking show. That's my thing. I don't know why, but that is. Other than that, I think that's probably it. I think that's my only like really weird wrestling thing I do. I wear them everywhere. Every flight. If you see me backstage, I'm wearing those nasty-ass Crocs. At some point, they're going to have to get retired. I'm going to have to get another. Because they were camo. Now they're just like this really gross green color. But yeah, I wear them everywhere. I wear them fucking everywhere.
I mean, to be fair, though, they are damn comfortable. So, like.
Like holes in them and like water leaks through if it's wet. It's, I don't know what the fuck.
I feel like I'm learning so much today. Like, we just found out that the First Lady of Top Rope and the baddest motherfucker in wrestling have Crocs in common. This is my day.
Oh. Just right here. We're right here. Crocs.
Oh, yeah.
That's where it's at.
I guess I got to get a pair and try these things out. Cause
yeah, you do.
Too, I have right? I've never worn a Croc in my life.
Me
I have my summer Crocs. I have my winter Crocs and I have my sandal Crocs. So I'm like a Croc for every occasion.
Okay, I'm going to spin the interview around. How many of those Crocs have platforms?
All except my winter Crocs.
Okay.
Because I have like several others. I also have like my banana Crocs. I don't even know how many pairs I have, but all of them except for my winter ones because those are like the fuzzy lined ones. So they're like nice and toasty warm, you know?
That's what mine are. They're disgusting.
After a while it just stinks like hell. I'm like, don't care.
My
feet are stank, but I'm warm and happy. That's all that matters. Do my toes smell like Fritos? Yes, my toes smell like Fritos. Don't care. Man, my poor husband has to put up with some shit.
I feel like if we keep talking about this, Crocs should sponsor the episode. And it should.
They really should. And then hook all of us up with some Crocs.
I'm ready for my Crocs. I'm ready.
Right.
So let's get to the meat and potatoes of this interview. Let's get to the real reason why we got the baddest motherfucker in professional wrestling on this show. PCW Ultra Creature Feature. You're stepping in the ring with Sin Bodhi. Yep. My question on this, I got a little bit of a question with it, and then I just want you to just go deep into this match and give the Top Rope fans the backstory. But do you think Sin Bodhi stands a chance?
Oh,
I mean, of course he does because he's been around for a while, right? I mean,
okay.
Credit the guy. He's been around for a while. He's got a storied career in pro wrestling. So you can't discredit that. He is going to show up. He's going to bring his game. He's going to do the things that Sin does, which is whatever the fuck he wants to do. Whatever he's got in his shed, he's just going to bring it. I already know. There's going to be a wheelbarrow, and he's going to have all kinds of crazy shit with him because that's just who Sin is, and that's what Sin does. Of course that's going to be fun. That's going to be entertaining. It's going to be crazy. We're going to do some crazy shit, but of course I'm going to win. I'm bringing my belt. I'm going to do my thing. Once I get it back, though,
what?
Fucking when I was in London, Gabe Kidd smacked me in the head with it, took it, and ran. So now he's running around prancing around saying he's the champ. He didn't fucking
motherfucker.
Beat shit. So he's going to have to bring that belt to Washington Hall on 27th. I'm going to get that motherfucker back, and then I'm going to bring it down there to California. So yeah. But besides all that shit that's been going on with Gabe just stealing it, he's definitely got a chance, but fuck, I'm going to win. Duh. I mean, spoiler alert. Duh.
Of course.
is it really a spoiler alert, though?
Huh?
Is it a spoiler?
I mean, to be polite. You know,
no offense to Sin Bodhi. I know Ivan got to interview him a while back, but is it really a spoiler? Really?
Like, come on. This is going to be a fucking ass whooping, and he's coming out on the side of the ass whooping, in my opinion.
Big you know what? I have a bonus question. Do we need to hunt this guy down and get your title back for you? Because I think we'd hop a flight and create a vault.
I mean, I'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
I will hop in my little cheese wedge and just meet me, run him down.
Grandma is barely 5 feet of fury. Like, she's always down for a fight. So.
No shame over here. I'll fight a child. I'll fight a grown man. I'll fight anybody. You want me to fight your nana? I'll fight your fucking nana, too. I don't give a shit. Unless she makes good cookies, in which case I'm not fighting nanas. Yeah, I keep threatening Bruce. I'm like, I'm going to drive down to Florida. I'm going to lay down an ass whooping, and then we're just going to sit poolside drinking some soda. Like, it'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be good. That's how it's done.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Grandma, you got something else for Chef?
I might. So now that we've had spoiler alerts, let's put on our psychic future looking hats here. Into the future, post retirement, way long into the future, would you like to stay in wrestling to some degree, like even if it's like Al Snow and OVW backstage kind of thing? Or would you just walk away entirely? Would you be like, I did my thing, I'm out?
That's such an interesting question. I don't know. Because it's like, I think most wrestlers have a love-hate relationship with the business of everything. Because I do. I mean, I know I do. I love it and I hate it. Some days I'll go and I'll be like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. And some days I'll leave and I'll be like, what the fuck am I doing? So it's a great question. I am sure I will do something. I'm sure I will be involved in wrestling in some form or capacity for the rest of my life just because I love it. Whether it is just being a fan, whether it's being involved backstage, whether it's involved at some level, I love it. I love doing it. I love being around it. You know, talking to guys like Matt Farmer who, you know, used to wrestle and now he just books Defy, you know, like he still loves it. He still loves being around it. So that kind of thing is very infectious just to be around people who just love it, even once they're done with the wrestling side of things. So yeah, I would say at some level, I probably will always be involved in wrestling, but I'm not gonna lie. I really just want to buy a house and just sit and fucking fish and farm some animals and just do all the fun shit. I really want to do that really bad. So if that takes up most of my life, then that would be what I would do. But at some level, I'd love to do something. I just don't know what that would be once the business side of everything is, or once the wrestling side of it's done for me.
Yeah.
I mean, the Briscoes have a farm.
Yeah, that's true. They do.
You can do both.
I know, man. I want this so bad.
I think Ronda Rousey also has like a big old farm too.
Yeah,
a lot of kind of. Well, Brock's got all that land up in Canada. You know,
Brock owns half of Montana and part of Canada. Yeah. And what is it? Matt Hardy has the compound. I'm sure Rebby is growing something out there.
Oh yeah, that's all I want. I want a big garden. I want a bunch of animals. I want some pigs, some chickens, goats, maybe some cows. I think buffalo would be sick. I think
that would be cool.
I would probably
keep some Shetland ponies, like just the little ponies. Because, you know, it'd be like at my height, it would be easier for me like to wrangle those around than like a big old thing, you know. So go the tiny route.
Man, my wife wants pigs, and I'm like, I am way too ghetto for pigs, man. I can't do it.
You know, Wendy brought up the question to you. What would you want to do? Would you ever consider opening a school?
I think a school. No, I don't know. I don't know, man. I want to own a gym one day. And so if I did like some sort of something in the back, you know what I mean? That could be fun. You know, that's like my big 10-15 year plan is I want to open up my own gym. I want to have like my own little BMF facility, you know, where not only like is it wrestling, but it's also like sports performance based, because that's what I went to college for, was like kinesiology. I do all kind of stuff, so whether it's like working with athletes in that realm or maybe doing the physical therapy side, something there. That's kind of my like 10-15 year plan, have my own facility where I'm doing that. And if wrestling finds its way into that, whether it's me just wanting to, you know, run a school, or, you know, there's not a whole lot of like higher production quality wrestling in Tennessee. So something like that could be kind of sick. So I don't know, but I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Definitely sounds cool. Now, I know you have been throughout your career a big part of Defy Wrestling, and we watch it. We get a lot of the same thing. So I'm going to ask you the question. People always say to me, "Well, why should I watch Defy Wrestling? It's so hard to find." As a wrestler and a mainstay there, why should someone who doesn't watch Defy tune in?
I mean, it is Pacific Northwest Pro Wrestling, without a doubt. So if you want to know what that's like, yes. But also, like, you got to think of who came from there. Which guys were up there grinding away, and now they're on the big stage, right? You've got a lot of those guys that came from that area in that thing. Your Nick Waynes, Swerves, Darby's, you know, like you said, Ricky's been there. Brian Cage, like all those guys, John Moxley, like Eddie, like all those dudes, like came into Defy, whether it was before, whether it was after, you know, a lot of those guys have come in and experienced that. And so whether you want, like, I mean, those guys are crazy at big surprises, crazy debuts, crazy matches. It's the environment up there that I think a lot of people really, like, those fans are rabid for pro wrestling. They are rabid for that. And you know, it's, to me, it's Washington Hall. Something about that venue just brings it all together, and it makes it something very special. But yeah, I mean, you should watch it, because, well, not only do you get to watch me, but and you get to experience, I think Washington Hall, Shaft, I think that's the fucking experience. If you get to watch me at Washington Hall, that's where you get to see what I'm all about, because those people give me everything and I give them everything back. And it's an experience.
Yeah. Washington Hall is something else, man. I'll be honest. Cause like as a guy who grew up on the corner of Swanson and Rittner in a bingo hall in the '90s, that is the closest thing I've seen to it in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Since, I mean, they are wild, like you said, ravenous fans, and they provide an energy that you don't get in a whole lot of spots. And that just gives me ECW flashbacks. I fucking love it. Non-stop. It's one of the reasons I watch.
It's bell to bell to bell. I mean, it's from the beginning of the show to the end of the show. The whole thing, man, it is, they are there the whole time for everything. You know, and you'll get to see guys, a lot of guys you may have never heard of, guys who are still in the Northwest cutting their teeth, trying to, you know, like, bring it. You'll get guys who are on TV who are coming in just to do a one-off. You'll get guys like myself who've been there, you know, damn near since the beginning. So you get a really good, like, well-rounded view when you're in there of, like, what they have and what they have to offer. It's an experience not like most places. You know, you get, like, little venues. I think the venue is so huge, and Washington Hall is one of those venues. I also really – I'm partial. I had this conversation with some guys, I think last weekend. We were running a new show or a new venue for AAW in Chicago. It was at like Joe's on Weed Street or whatever. But they do the Berwyn Eagles Club, man. I'll be honest, I fucking love that venue. Like, it's just like old. It's got something to it. And some of the guys don't like it, but I've got a special place in my heart for that one, because it feels good when you're in there. You're like, oh, nice.
I've heard from people that have been to both, it's got kind of the old bingo hall vibe to it.
Dude, it does.
So I kind of want to go there myself, just being the psycho that I am and where I'm from. But yeah, I've heard from people who live in Chicago who have been out there that, like, yeah, man, it's damn near the same thing. I'm like, ooh.
that feel to it. You know, every now and then you'll do something. Like, we did a show in Washington. God, I think it was called Eagle View or something like that. We did this one-off show in the middle of nowhere in Washington. It was an outside show, but like there was a ton of like kids. There were like 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds. Nice. And they were, never mind. There was one kid, I'll never forget. Like, he kept turning around because we were back, like, standing behind like the production tent. And he kept turning back anytime, like, you know, somebody was doing something they shouldn't have been doing. Like, instead of yelling at the ref, he was yelling at them. Like, he was wanting to send Vince down there or something. Stop it! you gotta stop this. It was awesome. It's like this little, like their venues will just, man, it'll just make it. It will make it, man.
Nice.
I was having a conversation with someone about like the difference between these small, the smaller indie promotions, but even if they're like a large indie promotion versus going to a show, like a big promotion show, like, you know, WWE, AEW, there's within the smaller ones, there's like this sense of community that I actually really love. And it's like, from the audience's perspective, you see the same people over and over, but you kind of become familiar with each other. You become friends kind of thing. And even if you only see each other once a month, like, it's still awesome. And you're just like, oh, hey, there's that guy. And there's that shit, you know, but there's that sense of community that exists in the smaller ones that doesn't really necessarily translate to the larger ones. And even to the larger ones, you know, like, yeah, you know, you're friendly with the people around you, but it's just not the same. It's there's that community that exists in those tiny ones, which I love.
For sure. Yeah. Defy's got like that set group of guys who've been there since the beginning. I'll shout out Jesse. That's my boy. So, you know, like, there's fans who have been there since like day one, and they've been at all the shows, and some of them are just like, you know, they're like insanely supportive. So yeah, you know, you'll get stuff like that. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. So I got a question because, you know, it's something that I always wonder. I did my stint in Independence when I was 18 to 19. Then some bad shit took me out of wrestling and I never got to get back. So I know a little bit. But my question for you is something, I guess it kind of gets talked about a lot around fans and in groups. What style would you consider yourself in the ring? Because I mean, you got like the death match, you've got the technical, then you got like the monster, and you got the hardcore. Like, where do you place your style in that area of styles in professional wrestling, I guess?
I don't think I necessarily have a style. I mean, a fight. That's what I tell people. We're gonna fight.
This is happening right here.
I don't wrestle. I'm not much of a grappler. You know what I mean? I don't really need to. You know, every now and then, you know, sure, bust out a wrestling move. But yeah, I'm in there to fight, man. I'm in there to fight. So that's my style.
You're just in there to fuck somebody up.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
and be the baddest motherfucker in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I just got one more thing I want to piggyback off this. And this is just me as a curious fan of yours. Have you gotten that call yet? Or a call from say an AEW, an NXT or Impact or any, have you gotten that call yet? Or do you even care if you get that call?
I mean, obviously a part of me cares, right?
Yeah.
Part of me cares, but I try not to care as much because right now what I do, I love this shit. Like, it's a lot of fun. So obviously, yeah, I'm tired of being poor, but you know, hell, you know, like, it is what it is. But no, I mean, I have had opportunities at AEW. I have, you know, done some stuff with NWA. Nothing with it. I've never talked to anybody from Impact or WWE or anything like that. I don't know if Shaft could really go to WWE. I don't know. It just really depends.
You'd have to be the baddest mother trucker. That don't sound right.
I don't.
Yeah, they'd water it down way too much.
Yeah, I don't really know.
They'd probably be like, he's not for your mama or something stupid like that, you know?
So, I mean, that really just kind of depends. But I mean, I've had talks and I've done some stuff with some of the guys, but nothing to the point where it's like, hey, you know, let's make this more of a permanent thing. And it doesn't necessarily hurt my feelings because, like I said, I you know, there's a time and a place, and you know, right now it ain't my time. You know, it may never be, but I don't give a damn because, like I said, I like what I do right now, and I'm very happy with where I am in my journey of life.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Don't worry. I'm in Florida. I'm going to hop in my car after we get off this interview, and I'm going to drive 5 hours to Jacksonville, and I'm going to beat on TK's door and tell him to fucking sign you.
Right? Like, I've seen you on the now defunct AEW Dark. I saw you on NWA Power. And every time I did, I would tell somebody, like, this guy needs to be, you know, yada, yada, yada. And so I'm hoping we get to that point. But as long as you're happy, that's really what matters.
You'd be the perfect heater for the BC Gold, brother.
Yeah.
Perfect heater for him.
Guns up. But I have a little bit of a bonus question, because I don't know if these guys have seen the match, but I have. Whose idea was it in the match with Ricky Starks to not only moon that man, but keep his ass out after the fact?
Wasn't mine.
Okay, I didn't think so. You never know until you ask. I didn't think so, but you never know.
I know. I tagged on a lot of, like, you know, not necessarily appropriate pages, or just like, look at this bear, like, smash guy's ass in his face or something like that. And that's not what I'm here for. I'm not doing this. This isn't my area of wrestling, but yeah, like, you know, one mind.
Okay, I figured it was Ricky, because, you know, he's pretty and everything. But you never know unless you ask. And it takes a big man to take a bear ass in the face. So I can't praise you enough for that. If that were me, I'm like, mm-mm, right here.
Like, oh no, thank you.
Like, no, that's not for me. And then I'm wondering, so we've obviously got your thoughts on Defy. You'll be going to Creature Feature. What's your take on PCW Ultra overall? I can't remember if you've been there before. To be honest, I've seen a lot of your matches, but mostly in Defy and, you know, the little YouTube programs.
Sure. Yeah, no, I love going there. I love the crowd down there. It's different. Like I said, crowds all over the country are totally different. I love going down there and working for the PCW guys. The last thing I did down there was actually, I mean, it was with Sin. So that's kind of how I already know what I'm expecting. Because it was me, Sin, Hammer, and Fatu. We did the big cage match down there. And that shit was I love that match. That was so much fun to do. So I love going down there. I love working with PCW. I love coming in there and doing my fucking thing. And hopefully this is just going to be another opportunity to keep making some stepping stones down there and get bigger opportunities down there and just keep growing. So, yeah, fuck yeah. I'm stoked, man. Like, I'm
all right. All right. Yeah, because we love it.
Tennessee, dude. I'm going to LA to wrestle. Like, fuck, dude. It's awesome. It's cool shit.
Right? Because we love it, but I don't know how that was a blind spot of mine, man. Because, I mean, cage matches, Fatu, Hammer, I love all these things. Yes. I don't know how. I'm going to have to go find that goddamn match.
Yeah.
Great fucking match. There was a lot of crazy shit happened, and 99% of it was because of Sin. He brought the fucking wheelbarrow, man. He was ready with it. He was just throwing.
Kitchen sink.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh no, Sin will do that. He's still gonna get beat on the 28th, but he'll do that. All right. Well, while we still have him, Grandma, do you have anything else to ask the baddest motherfucker in pro wrestling?
Yeah, no, that just popped into my head. If you could defend your title against anybody, like across all promotions, all over the world, wherever, who would you pick, and what kind of match would it be?
Good question. All over the world, I want to go to Japan. I'll go
nice.
Japan. Japan, because Gabe Kidd's prancing around out there with it right now, acting like it's fucking his. So it ain't, and I want to take it out there, and I want to do it. I don't give a damn against who it is. I don't care anymore about who I'm wrestling. I'm just gonna be honest. I don't fucking care. I've wrestled everybody. I'm not scared. I'm not nervous. I'm not worried. But I'd like to fight somebody. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to go to Japan. I'd like to fucking fight somebody. So pick a name. Fuck it. Let's go.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
I mean, you can't call yourself the baddest motherfucker in pro wrestling and be scared at the same time. That just doesn't work. Sure.
It don't work.
Like you said, man, I've in my brain, there's like, because sometimes, like, when you get into pro wrestling, like when you're very new, you wrestle some of these guys and you're like, oh man, oh no, oh no. At this point, like I wrestled a dude who was main event in pay-per-views when I was in the Navy watching this shit with my buddies. You know, I've done it. At this point, I don't give a fuck. Bring them on. You know, yeah. I'll leave some of that to my own self.
I mean, I think it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, being from a Marine family myself. Thank you for your service.
Yes.
I'm always going to appreciate that. Hi, Class. You got anything else for Chef? Because I don't know if he's, you know, I don't know how much time he's got. So let's get it in when we got him.
All right. I mean, you said you've been in the ring with just about everybody and everything. You know, not so much. I mean, I guess it kind of goes hand in hand together. And you've had a very good career. What was your favorite moment and favorite match so far? Because, I mean, you've got a ways to go before you can say you're done. And that look on your face is like, motherfucker.
Favorite moment, favorite match. Recently, some of my favorite moments. I mean, obviously, getting the opportunity on Dark Elevation with Cage, Seattle, having that reaction. Like to those fans, like,
yeah,
as somebody who's not been on something of that kind of a magnitude or that platform with that many people, I mean, I want to say it was like 10 to 11,000 people in attendance at that show, fucking wild, especially because they were chanting my name, and I was like, holy shit. So, yeah. That opportunity and that experience is something I'll never forget, and because of that, you know, Brian Cage is going to go down to somebody that I'm always going to want to get in there with. But also the surprise Moxley, you know?
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's a great
So you actually didn't know?
No, he was going to be fighting Eddie Kingston.
I know.
Yeah. I did not know Eddie was out of the show until I was sitting in the hotel and I get a phone call. And they're like, hey, Jim called me and he's like, hey, Eddie's out. And I was like, okay. He goes, don't worry. He goes, we got something else for you. You'll figure it out. And I was like, all right. So I had no idea. I roll into the venue. No idea. No, nobody's telling me shit. So, yeah, it was very much last minute. I had no idea what was happening. Nobody knew. They didn't even tell me. I just put a chair down in the ring, and I just started talking shit. And then, you know, what happened.
So that was all a natural reaction when his music hit.
All of it was, yeah, everything was natural. It was crazy.
That is fucking
awesome.
That is
insane. Oh, my God.
It was one of the craziest experiences of my life, without a doubt.
And you got to put him through a fucking table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Give him a senton while he's sitting in a chair, all that shit. See, that match I saw. I love that match. I love it.
That's why you fight, too. That's why you can fucking do a bunch of flips and shit. You fight because, you know, you just go out there and do it. You know, who's got, you know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's people have, they overthink so much shit in wrestling. And for me, it's, you know, we're just going out there fighting and we're doing the thing. So, but yeah, those two stick out to me as far as like things that I will probably never forget. Tagging with Eddie, that was fun. I got a photo of that on my wall when we tagged, because that was a cool experience. We did a thing with the Bollywoods and I believe the Heat. In Seattle, so that was a fun one as well. Those are just things that off the cuff that I'll never forget.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that match with Moxley was amazing, and I did see the match with Brian Cage on Dark. And you're not, if somebody didn't watch it, you're not joking. You got like the swerve pop in Seattle from Wrestle Dream. No lie,
fucking
they
nuts.
Were chanting your name. It was crazy. I was like, see, this is the guy. This is the guy.
Yeah. Fucking Tony's back there, like, oh.
Well, this has been absolutely amazing, man. We appreciate you coming on. I don't want to take up too much of your time because clearly you're a busy, badass motherfucking man. So thank you so much. And let the people know, if they're just seeing you for the first time, where they can find you on social media and in ring, really.
Yeah, so pretty consistently. You know, obviously, I'm at Defy, always at AAW in Chicago. Going to NGW in Knoxville this weekend. Actually, tomorrow I'll be at the PCW at the end of this year. And yeah, continuing to do that thing. Social media, I only have Instagram. I have a Facebook. I don't really use it. But I only have Instagram. It's _Schaff_. And that's pretty much it. I don't really like the social media game.
He's an underscore guy. I love you.
All about the underscores, man. We live for the underscores.
We probably have the most underscores of any Instagram in history.
All the fucking underscores.
Somebody took the shaft, so like at the Instagram people, I'm gonna get that. But yeah, that's really where you can find me. Check out what I'm doing. I try to post as much as I can, but I'm just not a social media person. It's not my thing. But that's it. I'll be around. So fucking find me. Let's go.
Let's fucking go.
That's awesome. And of course, you will be able to find him again at Creature Feature on October 28th, PCW Ultra, the IWLU Hall. And I wanted to let this out on our last episode, but I thought it'd be more fitting with the man, the baddest motherfucker in pro wrestling in the crowd. Folks, we got tickets to give you. If you're watching this episode, comment hashtag PCW Ultra, all caps, in the comments below. Then go to Instagram and follow PCW Ultra. We will keep tabs on this from now until October 19th. We will be announcing the winner on a weekend episode of either Circle of Debate or Top Rope Wrestling Talk. We're going to set up a nice big wheel, spin it, and whoever it hits will get two free tickets to the event to see amazing matches like my man Chef here defend his Defy Pacific Northwest title against Sim Bodhi himself and more. So please, if you're watching this, if you're in the area, even if you just want to make a trip to California and see a badass fucking card, comment hashtag PCW Ultra and follow them on Instagram and let's fucking go. Once again, thank you so much, Chef, for coming in. We appreciate you taking this time. This has been an absolute blast. And for Grandma, for High Class, enjoy wrestling, y'all. If it's not your cup of tea, let somebody else fucking drink it. And we will catch you soon, because this is probably coming out beginning of the week, so we'll be back Friday, y'all.
Yes.
Grandma?
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Well, hopefully we can get you back on after the match, Shaft, and deuces, bitches.